Hey guys, welcome into the 91st episode of the Fantasy Chumps. In this episode, we're going to talk about the NFL trade deadline. We also get into some of the new starting quarterbacks that we've seen in the league over the last week and what we expect out of them going forward and how they impact the offenses that they're playing on. Taysom Hill, believe it or not, he is once again fantasy relevant, and we cover some of his upside that we expect to see, as well as Leonard Fournette and what we think his impact will be on the Bills offense going forward. So be sure to follow us on X/Twitter at @fantasy_chumps. Thanks, guys.
Yo, what is up, chumps? Welcome back to the Fantasy Chump Podcast. And boys, I'm not gonna lie, I almost started it with "Where are we dropping?" just because of our headphones.
That's not where I thought you were going with that. I thought that was gonna be a tailspin into the Fortnite, bringing back the old map.
Oh no, I could care less about that. But
have you heard about all of that though?
Yeah, but there's still. So is it bringing back the old map without the building or?
Well, I think it's all speculation. Well, I shouldn't say all. Primarily speculation at this point. I've heard that it's going to go back to like OG Fortnite, where there's no more like no build mode. There's no more like hurdling. All the weapons are going to restore back to what they were. Like, it's going to go back to plain Jane Fortnite, which I don't know if I believe that or not, but that's just the rumors that I've heard about it. And I guess it comes out, I think, Friday. So, come Friday, don't call, don't text. I'm going to be busy.
Nate, you going to hop on that? Hop on the Fortnite train?
If there was anything that was going to bring me back, that's probably it. Honestly, I'm not the biggest Fortnite guy myself. There was a pretty good stretch there for a bit where I was into it. But yeah, it just got way too complicated for me. When people started building houses on top of me, that was the day I probably deleted Fortnite.
What was that game that Ben always loved to play?
Oh, Apex?
Apex, yeah.
Yeah, he was a sweat at that game a little bit.
Dude,
but he was
so good.
I know. All those, like, what do they call them?
Battle Royale.
Like Battle Royales? Yeah. All those, I feel like I got in early and got pretty good at each of them, and then people just trained and got way better than I was. So yeah, it kind of ruined the fun, took the fun out of it, but I might give it another shot because at its core, Fortnite was pretty fun. I know you weren't really into it, Layton.
It was still fun in the beginning, like you said. What's interesting, and I can't wait for, is when they restore it back to the original map, there's probably going to be like a 10 gig update for that.
That might be the way games have gone.
Yeah, unfortunately. But I guess we're here to talk about fantasy, not Fortnite. And what I was actually going to bring it up with is, John, you had me sweating this week.
Why is that?
All the way in freezing. You didn't see our matchup?
Oh, yeah, I kind of forgot about it. It was a tough break, but yeah, it was super close. It was down to the wire.
Dude,
were we separated by like four points?
Yeah, I was trying to look it up, but for some reason Snickers has to have an ad on the ESPN app. Yes, I lost by actually less than four, or I won by less than 4 points.
Yeah, it's tough. You're gonna have those though. Like,
I was in Denver when it was like 20 degrees outside of sweat. Well, because CD Lamb popped off for 41 points, and I saw that and I was like, oh no. It's gonna be a long day.
Layton was doing the thing. Literally, it was probably like, I got to adjust this for time change because we were in Denver an hour behind. But it was probably an hour into the noon games, I bet. And Layton walked out to me. He's like, dude, I'm losing to John. And he's like, I lost already. He's like, see, he's going off. I lost. I was like, Layton, there's been an hour of football played. Just stop that. Stop that nonsense.
Okay, that was not true. I didn't say I was losing to John then. When Bijan scored his touchdown to close out the noon games, I thought that was SOL. But then Christian McCaffrey played and saved my day.
I got to talk to you guys about a work league that I was in
Go
and this
for it.
matchup that I was experiencing and sweating come Monday night. So my team played pretty well this week. I put up like right around 150, I want to say. But going into the Monday night game, I still had Devontae Adams to play, and the guy I was playing, who's probably down like almost 30, maybe 30 plus, he had Detroit's defense and Detroit's kicker. Okay. So
Oh boy.
fast
Oh
forward through that game, I'm up 30. Devontae Adams has one catch, I think,
no.
for like 15 yards. He gets me 2.5 fantasy points. The kicker for Detroit had a just probably a career game. Hit like, I think he was like 4 for 4 going into the fourth quarter. Made a couple bombs, so he was at like 13 or 14 points. Detroit's defense got probably two sacks every single drive come fourth quarter. So it got to a point in the game where if Detroit got another turnover or if they kicked another field goal, I was gonna lose because Devontae Adams just wasn't doing anything. So I literally won my matchup this week in a must-win scenario because I think I was 3-5. It was a must-win scenario, and I won because Detroit's kicker missed a 26-yard field goal. Just blew it
That's
right. It
incredible.
was like a gimme. It was closer than an extra point, I'm pretty sure.
It
And I
definitely
was
was.
watching it, and he kicked it, and it was kind of scooting right. And I was so locked into it. I saw the ball pass in front of the field goal post and just could not believe it.
Wow.
It was one of the more, it was one of the sweatiest games I've ever had to sit through. So that
That's
was
nuts.
terrifying. I'm very lucky. Just wanted to put that out there.
No, you're good.
I lost this week. I lost it against Leighton in our league, and then in my other high school league, I had Jahmyr Gibbs in my lineup for the Monday night game, and I
Nice.
can't remember exact. Yeah, it wasn't nice enough because I literally texted the guy that I was playing and I said, "Really need a Monday night miracle out of Gibbs because I had a 1% chance of winning." And then here I'll tell you exactly how close it was. I lost by 5 points. It ended up being 149 to 144.
Oh,
And
gosh.
what's crazy is, I don't know if you guys watched the last drive or not, Craig Reynolds got like 7 touches on the last two possessions for the Lions, and
Yep.
I was losing my mind. It was terrible.
Yep. I know that's there was also there was the pick six that Goff threw that kind of ended a
Yep.
drive, and then there was the fumble inside the 5-yard line that ended a drive. I'm pretty sure that was Craig Reynolds. There's no way that
Yep.
was Jameer. So
Nope.
that is too bad. That wasn't
It
that
was
was
rough.
possible.
It was, yeah, but anyway, still fun.
Yeah, definitely a lot more exciting than the trade deadline that we just had. I mean, it wasn't bad from a football perspective, but for fantasy, you're just sitting there like, oh, put me to sleep.
Yeah.
I was expecting a few more splashes, I guess.
I was too.
I don't really remember how last year's went, but I feel like from 11 a.m. to like 3 p.m., it was like Shefty tweet and back to back to back. It was like I just remember it being a little more exciting. But there are a few good moves that we'll talk about. But some of them were just out of pure necessity for some teams, like they had to do it.
Yeah.
But not a ton of super exciting ones. But what do you want to headline the trade deadline with, Leighton?
Probably Josh Dobbs to the Vikings in terms
Yeah.
of fantasy, which is,
Sad.
yeah. I feel like only defensive players got traded.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which, not saying defense doesn't matter, but for
Not for
fantasy,
fancy.
fantasy does. So how did Chase Young go to the 49ers? Anyway, Josh Dobbs gets traded to the Vikings for picks that don't really matter. And Captain Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles, had successful surgery apparently, but everything's going good with that. So I'm just what do you guys expect with this offense with Josh Jacobs? Because it's clearly not going to be what it was with Kirk.
I've honestly been pretty impressed with what Josh Dobbs has done in Arizona so far this year. After like week three, I thought Josh Dobbs was the truth. I was telling my friends in Phoenix that they need to move on from Kyler Murray, stick with Josh Dobbs for 2 years, let him rebuild, and then go for a swing on a quarterback. But he kind of came back down to earth, after those solid, I would say, 3 weeks. But I think he'll be okay in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty good situation for him. Unfortunately, I think it's going to take him a few weeks. And I think the downside with Minnesota is they don't really have a dependable run game to lean on. So he's going to be asked to do a lot to facilitate that offense. But he's got playmakers there. He's kind of got a safety valve with TJ Hockenson that he's going to be able to depend on. After last week, it's pretty evident that he likes the tight end chemistry. We had a Trey McBride bust out last week. What was it? 10 receptions, like 15 targets or something.
Yeah.
So he had a really big game. I think TJ Hockenson will be just fine in Minnesota. But it will be interesting to see, you know, what that offense looks like after Justin Jefferson comes back. If he's coming back. I mean, and that's still kind of the word that I'm kind of leaning on, is that he'll be back in probably 2 to 3 more weeks. So not sure if you guys have heard anything else.
I haven't
looked for an update. I'm going to search Twitter real quick to see what the experts are saying.
Yeah. I remember when he got put on IR, they were calling it 4 to 6 weeks. I think that Chiefs-Vikings game where he got injured was 3 weeks ago.
That's correct.
This will be the fourth week.
Yes.
So it could be, I guess, at the shortest after this week he could get activated, but probably, which is interesting. If he's ready to go, I could see them activating him as early as possible. They're still well within the playoff hunt in the NFC.
They're in the playoffs right now.
Okay.
Yeah, if the season ended today.
Wow. Yeah, which I did not see coming. I kind of thought that might have been the end of Minnesota's run when he went down. But they've kind of trudged their way through a couple games, but sad to see it for Kirk Cousins. He was on track for a really solid year. I think he was top 3 or top 4 in a lot of passing categories. So
mm-hmm.
he was doing everything he could to keep him in the playoff chase.
Do we think this? I think this will change their offense a little bit because they just threw it so much with Kirk. I don't think they're going to do that as much with Josh. I think it could be more of like a split, like 50-50 run pass type of situation.
Yeah. Like, I think, yeah, that's definitely, that was kind of the Vikings game. It was like, which is kind of funny because they do so much play action in Minnesota, but their running game is horrible that it just kind of is interesting to me that you keep running play action. Like if I was a defense playing Minnesota, I'd be like, okay, run the ball. I dare you. But so it's like, I think that I think they will try to, but if they are, if they're so ineffective at running the ball, they're just going to have to get out of it. And like, I think there will still be quite a bit of passing volume in Minnesota.
Dobbs likes to chuck it. He just doesn't complete many passes.
Just
little caveat. I'm looking at his game log. 25 for 37 last week, 19 for 33 the week before that, 21 for 41 against the Rams. Like, he's under 50% the week before that. He doesn't throw a lot of picks, but he doesn't complete a lot of passes either. So I don't know. The offense is obviously going to look a lot different just because of his capability. I do think that I feel like they could run like a faster paced offense with Josh Dobbs, and just throw a lot of stuff underneath, because he does have the ability to rush, and he actually uses his legs quite a bit. He rushes like 6 to 10 times a game, roughly. Well, 6 to 8 or 9 times a game. And he's been over 40 yards 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times this season. He's got 3 rushing touchdowns. So it actually, like, the offense might look a lot different, but it could be successful. Like, I'm not totally ruling out the fact that Minnesota could sneak into the playoffs with Dobbs.
It always dumbfounds me how much he ran the ball.
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
6'3", 216. Like, he's not a small mobile style of quarterback. Like, he's like a Josh Allen, a small, slightly smaller Josh Allen.
I know. It just kind of blows my mind, because I think he's only on a 1-year contract, I think. So he's still trying to get paid. And
surely.
He hasn't made much money in his career, so hoping he gets that good backup. Yeah, he definitely – there's one game, you're in it 12 times.
How many years do you guys think he's been in the league? I think Leighton is probably looking at the number. But, Nate, how long do you think Josh Dobbs has been in the NFL?
That's probably close to my guess, honestly.
Probably 6 years.
Okay. Yeah. You got it.
Yeah.
In my head, he had been like – I feel like I remember him at Tennessee like 3 years ago.
No, he's in Pittsburgh a while back.
Was he ever a Chief, or did we have a different Tennessee quarterback?
No, he was never a Chief. Let me look up and see where he went. We are really talking about Joshua Dobbs a lot.
Yeah. Big headliner news, Josh Dobbs.
He's been on so many teams. Holy cow.
Well, is this his fourth this year? Because did he start the year with the Titans, get cut, picked up by the Browns, traded to the Cardinals, now I'm traded to the Vikings?
So he started on the Browns.
Okay.
Traded to the Cardinals. Traded to the Vikings. And last year, he's on the Titans. Last year, he's on the Browns, then on the Lions, then on the Titans. Back to the Browns, then to the Cardinals.
Wow. Crazy.
He's moved a lot.
Well, enough about Josh Dobbs. Wait, what do we have next?
Well, we can kind of move on, because there's a few quarterback changes, and there's going to be a lot more. So I think we should just talk about those for the next few minutes. The next one I have is Taylor Heinicke. I almost said Heineken because that's what I wrote. And the Falcons offense, because Desmond Ridder got benched. Because he wasn't that good, unfortunately. But the reason I think this is important to discuss, because I think Heinicke is going to start the rest of the season, if I'm being honest, because shockingly, the Vikings could win the division. Or the Falcons could win the division. And when Desmond Ridder went out with a potential concussion, he passed the concussion protocol. And this week, he has already been named the starter. And we are recording this on a Wednesday. And they play Sunday, obviously. So I think all the signs are pointing for this being Taylor's team.
It makes sense to me. Desmond Ridder has been a massive disappointment. And it's just how you laid it out. I mean, it's Wednesday and he's already been named a starter, even though, and I was looking at that too, like, he has cleared concussion protocol and he's healthy and he's not playing. So good luck on your next adventure, I guess, wherever that is. Probably won't be in Atlanta.
Yeah. Do you think this changes the offense at all, Nate?
I think it's better. Like, surely it has to be a little bit better, right? Their passing game was just atrocious with Desmond Ridder. And Heinicke kind of began to turn things around in Washington. Like, didn't have a ton of success, but he had more than what Ridder has had in Atlanta, in my opinion. So, yeah, I'm excited for it.
Well, that's good, because I think it'll be – Ridder was very hesitant to throw the ball, but we know Heinicke can grip it and rip it. I think he's not afraid to chuck the ball. And after he got hurt, the offense looked so much better with Heinicke. Just a lot more explosive. Bijan got in the end zone. You saw this guy named Kyle Pitts get some targets. And Drake London, so it's kind of exciting.
It's more exciting than what it was.
Nate, would you trade for Kyle Pitts now?
No, I don't think so. I guess it would depend on what my tight end situation is.
Let's just say you have somebody. I'm just gonna pull a random name, like a Darren Waller that just got hurt.
Wow.
Just a random name,
No,
though.
I would probably wouldn't still.
Wow, that's kind of surprising.
Oh yeah, I
I
would.
mean,
Well,
I was
even
just
if you
kind
wanted to,
of
you couldn't. So
yeah, I was
that's
just kind of
tough.
joking because I do have Darren Wall in our league of
Oh
record.
really? Oh, just
but
pulled a random name.
we dude, it literally in Denver, I was like making breakfast and Leighton was in the living room watching the games. I'm like literally scrambling like 12 eggs together. And Leighton just runs up to me. He's like, dude, Darren Waller's out with a hamstring injury. I'm like, okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Like,
Appreciate
go back to your room now.
Okay, to be fair, we were in the living room sitting watching football.
You did do that.
That is what he said. You're right.
No, you were there with me.
Oh, Nate said he was scrambling eggs.
I was scrambling eggs.
Nah, not when I told you, because I remember you looked up and you looked at
I
me and
was
you're
feeding the
like,
house.
thanks.
Yep. All right. Yeah, that was not a highlight from the trip. But yeah, I guess, I mean, like, in all honesty, maybe I would trade for Kyle Pitts. I don't really know what the market is for Kyle Pitts right now. I feel like we got one kind of boom game out of him a couple weeks ago where they kind of actually tapped into his potential as just a playmaker and basically just a huge wide receiver. And then they just kind of went away from it again. I think a lot of that is probably, actually, I shouldn't say a lot. I think part of that is probably due to Desmond Ritter's ineptitude, but I kind of think so. Like maybe Taylor Heinicke could, I guess, help with that. I don't think that highly of Taylor Heinicke. Like I think Taylor Heinicke is a backup quarterback, so I don't see it really as an improvement from Desmond Ritter for that offense.
Oh, man.
Like I think Taylor Heinicke gets a lot of love because he comes in, he's kind of a gunslinger. He makes some plays. He's made a lot of plays with his feet too. I'm like thinking back to that Bucks playoff game
Almost
that he was
won.
in. Almost won. That's kind of the thing is I think you just kind of get you still get below average out of Taylor Heinicke, which
Oh, yeah. But
is what Desmond Ritter was, but
instead of having the worst quarterback in the NFL, you now have like the 26th best quarterback, maybe.
yeah, maybe. So like I'm not super high on it. I'm not super high for this Falcons offense past this point, but I would say it could be a touch more explosive.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if Drake London's the benefactor of that or Kyle Pitts, but I guess we'll have to see.
It'll probably be Jonnu Smith. Moving
It'll
on
probably be Jonnu Smith.
to the other, I would say this was a surprise of the weekend. Will Levis.
Definitely.
Yep.
Man, why was he not starting for the Titans? He threw for four touchdowns or three? Four
Four.
touchdowns.
Four.
Three went
Almost
to
had fifth,
Hopkins.
too, I think.
Almost. I think there was a drop, if I remember.
And I know it's only one game, but he looked way better than Ryan Tannehill has looked all year. Showed off the arm
Definitely.
strength, made good decisions. He honestly didn't even look like that much of a rookie. And if the Titans have truly found their guy, this could be huge just off the, for a franchise point, but for fantasy, this seems like what I think everybody was kind of selling their stock on D-Hop and Derrick Henry. Could this now be an offense you want a piece of?
Yep, 100%. If it's a big if though.
Yes.
Like if Will Levis is that guy, which we are far from knowing whether he is. We're probably a month from really knowing if he is that guy. And Vrabel came out and said like yeah, he's starting this week, but it's no sure thing that that's what's going to happen in the future, which is understandable. So
Am I excited? Yeah. I picked him up in our Dynasty League. I'm very glad to have him on my roster.
I did not know he was available.
So I'm not going to lie. It's funny that you say that. Like, I saw that you had looked at my drop transaction in our Dynasty League. And it was kind of late. Like, it was later in the night last night. And I was like, I wonder if he got on to place a claim for Will Levis or not. Because I know that you only have – I looked at your roster, and you only have Jalen Hurts on your roster.
Who else
so, I mean, that's also the other thought that ran through my mind. But I know that you've rostered Sam Howell before this year also, who I also claimed off of waivers. So I was really concerned that – like, that's why I think I bid $17 on Will Levis in Fab, and nobody else bid on him, and that's fine. I don't regret it. But I was really curious if you were going to come in and place a bid on him.
I was – well, honestly, I didn't even know he was a free agent or else I probably would have. I was just kind of assuming he was on somebody's taxi squad somewhere. But
yeah,
you live and you learn, I guess. Should always check. The answer is always no until you can ask, right?
Tis true.
I would definitely say – opposite of the Atlanta situation with Ritter and Heinicke, like, I'm confidently upgrading the Titans offense from what I saw from Levis last week. Like, I think there's the potential in Atlanta that Heinicke could be like a notch better, but I think like Tannehill has been horrible for probably the last year and a half, maybe 2 years. Like, he was really bad last year, and like, we've not seen anything remotely close to what he was in 2019 this year. And I don't know. I mean, like, part of that, for a while last year, I thought it was just the playmakers that Tennessee had at wide receiver. I mean, it was Treylon Burks, Robert Woods, and like, that was kind of it. So like, you bring D-Hop in to get him more involved, make the offense a little bit more explosive, have a playmaker, and you either can't get him the ball or you have not been trying to. It seems like Tennessee was trying to through the first 7 weeks, but just unable to really get any explosiveness out of D-Hop. And then last week, what do we see with Will Levis? He comes in, throws three bombs to D-Hop, gets three touchdowns out of it. So, I mean, I think this is a game changer for Tennessee. It's probably a little too quick to assume, but I think Will Levis might be the solution in Tennessee for at least the rest of this year. But like, I just think he rides the momentum. So I think Will Levis might be that guy.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know who's not the guy though? Jimmy Garoppolo.
He is not.
I dunked on him for no reason. He got benched, and he will be benched the rest of the season because he has $14.5 million guaranteed next year if he gets hurt. So they're not going to risk that. They're going to start Aiden O'Connell. They obviously fired almost everybody in that organization, just doing another cultural reset for the third time in the past 5 years. But that's kind of the direction they're going, and I don't know if this makes me feel any better about the Raiders offense personally.
Definitely not. But this is gross. I mean, very sad day for just sad year for Devontae Adams. I just never really got it to click with Jimmy G. I would say one kind of glimmer of hope was, I think when Aiden O'Connell did play in one game against the Chargers. That had to be like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He did target Devontae Adams quite a bit. Now, did Devontae Adams come down with those catches? Not necessarily, but he did get he got 13 targets in that game. Had a pretty good performance, just didn't record a touchdown. So I do think that, I mean, I don't know. It's not like, I guess I wouldn't be panicking completely if I had Devontae Adams or Jacoby Myers right now. It's not like you're losing Kirk Cousins, who is like far and away better than what Aiden O'Connell is. Like, Jimmy G again is a below average quarterback, and you're going to a worse quarterback, but like if Aiden O'Connell improves a little bit, we could see some good performances the rest of the year, but dumpster fire.
I feel like that's kind of the sentiment around them. I just don't feel like anybody's really excited.
I don't think anybody's excited for Aiden O'Connell, but I'm not super down on the Raiders just because of Aiden O'Connell. I'm down on the Raiders because for a lot of reasons, but like I really wasn't trying to dunk on him, but I think that there are larger problems in Las Vegas than Aiden O'Connell being the starting quarterback, because at this point, if you're the Raiders, you're not going to win the division. You still technically have the possibility of fighting for a playoff spot, but likely is not going to happen just having fired your coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think offensive coordinator, right? I think they let the OC go as well. I don't know who the interim head coach is.
Something Pierce.
Yeah, so good luck with that. But there's just there's not really any downside to starting a guy like O'Connell. You know, I mean, you lose more games. Okay, that's what we wanted anyways. Or he turns into something that you weren't necessarily expecting from a fourth round pick. So I think it's from a logistics standpoint, I think it makes sense for the organization to go ahead and start him, because Jimmy G's not going to win you a Super Bowl. You know, like it's just not going to happen. And the roster that you have isn't going to do it either. So for fantasy, it might be a little bit worse, but I don't expect anything drastic to change. It can't get much worse for Davante Adams. Josh Jacobs maybe loses some carries, and then maybe the target share switches up a little bit. So maybe a guy such as Michael Mayer, I don't know how you pronounce his name. He's irrelevant right now, but maybe he starts getting more targets, or Hunter Renfrow starts getting hyper-targeted, or Jacoby Meyer drops off as the wide receiver that he's been. So expect change. You're just not sure what the change is going to be. You just got to kind of watch and see who he starts to target more.
John, I forgot how good your hops were, because you just dunked on the Raiders for the past minute and a half. Yeah, and it was great.
Toughy. Can't all be the Chiefs.
That's true. Yeah, it's a tough situation for them. I also, while you're talking, I looked back, because remember when we projected when we all picked teams who wouldn't win a Super Bowl in the next 10 years? Guess who's the Raiders?
I do. That was like a year ago.
Yeah, no. That was a long time ago, yeah.
We're a year in. The Raiders is looking good. One of my picks.
Gosh, how did you find... What can you remind us of what the picks were?
Yeah, the reason I was able to find it so quick is it's on my favorites.
Mm.
Oh. So we did this January 17th, 2023. Mm. So John picked the Saints, Titans, and Bucks.
Looking pretty good.
Nate picked the Colts, Bears, and Cardinals.
You know, right?
Pretty good.
I picked the Texans, Raiders, and Browns.
Mm.
There's some interesting ones in there. I'm not worried about the Browns.
No, I'm not worried about the Raiders.
The Texans could piece things together.
They could.
It'll depend on what happens this offseason. Well, this offseason, yeah. Next.
But I was just looking, because I remember the I had the Raiders and I was like excited.
Always keeping those receipts, Layton.
Any chance there's a time to dunk on the Raiders? Absolutely. But going back to fantasy, we have a couple other guys we want to talk about. Just John, you want to talk about Taysom Hill? I'm just going to pass it over to you.
Okay. I'm by no means planting my flag on the Taysom Hill, if you will.
Nice.
But
on Taysom's Hill.
On Taysom's Hill. That if oof, wow, can we get that trademarked? So Taysom Hill has demanded some fantasy attention over the last few weeks. And I'd say by this point, most of you have followed what he has done. If you haven't, just to recap, over the last 3 weeks, Taysom Hill has surpassed 50% of the snaps twice, and this week he played 44% of the snaps. He's scored 12, 17, and 22.5 fantasy points the last 3 weeks. Going back to week four, he's pretty consistently playing 50% of the snaps or over. So he's more involved in the offense with Alvin Kamara coming back, which I think is kind of interesting. You would typically think it was the opposite. And he's most heavily involved in the rushing game, but it's kind of been a little bit sporadic. I don't know. This doesn't show his passing numbers. I don't know if he's attempted to throw a pass or not, but he's had 50 yards receiving twice. And then last week he had 63 yards rushing with 2 touchdowns. He also ran in a touchdown the week before. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, he's back. This is the annual Taysom Hill hot streak in fantasy relevance that you just never know when it's going to end.
Chase is a huge fan of this.
Is he rostered on?
Oh, no. I picked him up in the playoffs and played him at tight end when he was the quarterback.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about that. Yeah.
And I won.
Yep. It's right. So that's the benefit, is that he can be played as a tight end or a quarterback. So
yeah,
if Taysom Hill is available, go pick him up. He's worth a roster spot. I don't know if I'm starting him this week, but odds are good that you don't have a tight end with a higher ceiling than him. So he might be worth a spot in the lineup.
Might be. The last thing we want to talk about, sorry, I don't know why I like looked at Nate like, all right, Nate, but the last one is Leonard Fournette added to the Bills practice squad. Probably going to be there for a week or two and then elevated to the game day active roster. Nate?
Yes?
What do you think about that? Leonard Fournette making a comeback, playoff Lenny?
I have to look up real quick just to see how old he is. Okay, he's only 28. I mean, that's old, but not ridiculous. I honestly, I like the signing a lot for Buffalo, just from a team construction perspective. Yes. So I think this is a pretty good add. If you can get Leonard Fournette kind of gearing up for a playoff run, I think this is pretty big from, one, a team that has not been super effective running the ball this year. I think James Cook has been solid. Like I think his yards per carry is pretty good. Like between the 20s, James Cook has been fairly efficient, but they've had really no, red zone production in the run game. I don't know if James Cook has even rushed for a touchdown this year. It's gotta be one or two, but,
he has rushed.
So I think that's pretty big for them. It's also been a year kind of where we've seen Josh Allen take a lot of hits, I feel like, and they're kind of starting to catch up to him. So
he has a shoulder injury that he didn't practice today.
So I feel like the Bills are going to try to do whatever they can to kind of eliminate some of those, which is tough because Josh Allen is so good in goal-to-go situations when he can bootleg and or roll out and kind of have the option to run or throw. It's very rare that one guy is going to make the tackle on him. He's usually going to shed those. So I feel like what this impact could have fantasy-wise on the Bills, you could see some of that, the rushing touchdown potential get taken away from Josh Allen. Probably not for the next week or two until Leonard Fournette's kind of, I guess, acclimated to the new system. Not that it really takes that long for running back to get in, kind of understand the playbook, but they'll probably want to reserve Fournette for a little while until he's a full go and until we're closer to the postseason. But I feel like you could see some of that, those opportunities get taken away from Josh, definitely from James Cook too. Not that you're really relying on touchdown production from Cook so far this year, but I feel like this kind of nixes his, you know, touchdown upside that we were hoping that he might develop. So I really like it for Buffalo. I think this is it's a pretty solid addition right now. I'm not encouraging anybody to go out and sign Leonard Fournette though right now to your fantasy team. And if you've got an open spot and you're like very bullish on him catching fire as the season goes on, by all means, go ahead. But I think you could probably use that spot in a better manner.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Yeah, I can't really disagree with what you said. You kind of nailed everything there.
Thanks.
Just kind of had a nice little monologue there. But I do worry about the touchdowns, especially for James Cook, like you said. But I'm not really worried about this from a weekly basis. John, are you?
I think he might steal some touchdowns, but I went ahead and rostered him in probably my deepest league. Running backs are just super hard to come by. Gosh, so
running backs are awful this year. Can't wait for this offseason because I feel like that's all we're going to talk about.
Yeah, this is a huge running back class. I feel like there's a lot of guys that are pretty talented that are coming in from the draft. Yeah. But I mean, if you had to put the over-under on touchdowns for Fournette for the year rushing, I'd probably put it at like 2.5. So it's nothing super crazy, but you never know. Like if something happened to James Cook, we would be talking about it in a totally different light. So depending on how deep your league is, he's probably worth a last bench spot that you sit him there for a little while and see what happens in Buffalo.
That's definitely true. I don't think he's going to play this week, though, but probably
no,
the week after,
no.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Good deal. Well, I personally don't have anything else. If not, we can go to the lock of the week.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Nate, lead us off, man. Lock of the week. This is your segment, so we can just keep talking about next week, though, if you want.
I guess we do need to revisit the week 8 picks that we made. It was a bad week for the chumps. I just got to say, it was not our best work. There were some tough games on the board and we picked a lot of the wrong ones. So, I had the Giants +3 last week in the battle at MetLife. They pushed. They lost on an overtime field goal to the Jets. I saw something at one point. The Giants had a 99% chance to win the game.
Wow.
When the Jets got the ball back with like 24 seconds left or something, and somehow they let Zach Wilson complete 2 deep balls over the middle of the field, got him right down into field goal range, kicked the field goal, send it to overtime. Giants actually got the ball in overtime, did nothing with it. This was also after Tyrod Taylor was out. I don't even know who the third stringer was for New York, but
Tommy DeVito,
it went about as well as you would have expected. So Giants push on the +3. I guess you can't call it a win, but you can't call it a loss. John, do we want to talk about this?
I mean, just go back and listen to it. I didn't like it whenever I picked it, and I still don't like it because I got demolished. So that there's really nothing else to say. The Rams didn't so it was +6.5, not minus 6.5, but the Rams did not hit that mark. They they got whooped.
That game was over right after the whistle was blown for the first kickoff. It did not take long for that game to be in total control by the Cowboys. I was kind of with you, though. That was like one of the games that I was just like, I'm not touching this whatsoever. Yeah. Like, I have no feel for which way this game is going to go. I feel like I've been kind of high on the Rams, even though they've been kind of subpar this year. They've been very subpar, but I've still been holding out hope. Did not come through this week. So we lost that one. Leighton, this was lock of the week for you. Mm-hmm. You had the Falcons -3, and you got Will Levis. So how thoughts, feelings?
I would have done it again because when a rookie starts, statistically, they're not going to win. So I would have taken that again, but he played really good. I'm not going to complain about the pick, though, because use the logic to make it.
I honestly respect that a lot. I feel, yeah, the trend is that rookies on their first start typically doesn't pan out for them. It was -3 also was, I mean, it's just a field goal at that point. Like you kind of just roll the dice on that. Usually it's going to land in your favor. But so for this week, week 9, I am going to ride with the Seahawks +6 going to Baltimore. It's kind of a peculiar line for me. I feel like these teams are closer to even than I think this line is saying. I give Baltimore the slight edge, but I think the Seahawks have been really solid. I just think this is kind of ridiculous that the Seahawks are getting 6 points. Obviously, I wish it was 7 to kind of land on a key number there, but we're just going to ride with 6. We're going to go off the power ratings here and see what happens. But there's probably some other games that I kind of like the line on more, especially one of John's that he just put out. But we'll go with Seattle. Seattle's been good to me this year. I'm not going to lie. Seattle, I've won a lot of games on Seattle. So I don't know if that's just, there's some haters out there or if they're actually legitimate. I honestly think it's the former. I think there's just a lot of Seattle haters. I don't know how good they are. But Layton, what do you got?
I'm kind of scared to do this, but I'm going to take the Chiefs -1.5 against the Dolphins.
In the bounce back spot.
I obviously witnessed that, what we could call a game this past week. And
with our own eyes.
With our own eyes in person. I don't think it could have gone much worse for them, for the Chiefs. With the 5 turnovers, and they still only lost by 15. So, you know, I just think that was one of those rough weeks. I think they were probably looking ahead a little bit, if I'm being honest, because if I played for the Chiefs and there was the Broncos and the Dolphins, I know I'd be thinking ahead a little bit. So maybe not 100% focused, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs -1.5 to get the win this Sunday early morning, and then they get the bye week after, and then kind of go into that bye week feeling good.
I actually really like that. I think my second play, if I were to choose one, I was telling Layton about this earlier, I would honestly, I'm more confident in this than the Seahawks +6. Give me the Chiefs over on their team total for this week, which is probably going to be like 25 points or like 24.5. Give me that. I feel like you see a very focused offense. I think you see the playbook. I don't think there's anything off limits for Andy Reid this week. I think you might see a big boy touchdown. Who knows? But I'm going to go Kansas City over whatever their team total is. They usually don't release those until right before the game. But I love that one. We've got John off comms right now, but he is on the commies. +3.5. Let's go Washington. Washington is playing New England, I believe.
Yes.
I actually really like this. New England should not be laying 3.5 points to a high school football team. So I like it. I think we're going to bounce back this week. I'm feeling good. Let's get these locks up.
Okay. I have a quick little thing to just kind of talk about before we're done. Isn't it crazy how many teams like need a quarterback?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that because we were talking about the games before we start recording. There's at least like 12 teams who probably don't know who their quarterback is next year. That's my
opinion. I think that's very true. So Layton knows this, but I have like a little like model I've worked on, but within the model I've created like a quarterback ranking section, and basically, it's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Outside of the top like 5 quarterbacks, no, I take that back. Outside of the top 6 quarterbacks, mm-hmm. You're pretty much stuck with like an average quarterback.
Yep.
or like a slightly better than average quarterback. Like there are so many quarterbacks in the NFL right now that are just dog water. Mm-hmm. And like, so, I mean, a lot of teams are, for example, I mean, it was even like the Green Bay Packers, like Jordan Love. He's like so far below what I would see like an average quarterback being. Like average quarterback, in my opinion, is like Brock Purdy. Like he's not really winning you a game. He's not really losing you a game. He's about as average as they come.
That's true.
He's in a very good situation that makes him look a lot better. No hate on Brock Purdy. I think he's a good player, but he's not an MVP level quarterback.
Huh. Wonder who's However, been saying that Jordan, all
year. Jordan Love, like if he's horrible, and now the Packers are looking to move on from him, it sounds like. So, yeah. I mean, I think that's a really interesting point. There's probably 12 teams that could be looking for a new quarterback next year.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely interesting. So I'm excited to see what happens. But all right, I think that's going to do it for this week. The Fantasy Chumps, not a ton of new breaking news, but we tried to give you some good insight in some of the more interesting things. Good luck this weekend in your games. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Thanks, guys.